The League of Legends betting podcast is brought to you by my patrons at patreon.com/gelatilol. There you can find bonus content like in-depth articles on macro trend analysis and league previews, as well as thoughts on breaking news and the podcast picks before the show is released to platforms. You also get to support your creators more directly. patreon.com/gelatilol. That's G-E-L-A-T-I-L-O-L. Good afternoon, everybody. It is currently about 4:40 p.m. Eastern on Tuesday, April 9th. We're going to take a quick look at what happened yesterday in the LEC, and then we're going to cover the Wednesday and Thursday LPL playoff matches. Just a little housekeeping. I mentioned it on the last show, but these episodes are going to get a little bit sparse moving forward. We're getting toward the end of the season. The LCS is done. We only have the semifinals and finals in the LCK. We only have a few more matches in the LEC as well. And then the LPL is getting toward done, but we've still got, I think 4 more matches, I believe, in the LPL. So what's going to end up happening is once the regular season's done, we do have MSI. MSI, for those that are relatively new to professional league, MSI is kind of like a mini world championship. It's the mid-season invitational. That's what the MSI stands for. That's going to be happening in China, and it starts on May 1st. So, you know, we're really only going to have a couple of weeks downtime. Sometimes it's longer than that. Sometimes it's shorter than that. But we're going to have a couple of weeks downtime, probably, where I won't be posting too much here. I'll probably end up doing, I'll probably do shows on previewing that event, any kind of futures looks. I'll probably end up doing something that's like recapping the spring and any big picture thoughts I might have had. That will probably be on the Patreon. I like to do a big old summary post, like what went right, what went wrong, what was I doing well with, what wasn't I doing well with, how do I improve for summer. I kind of like to do one of those recap, like self-evaluation kind of posts in between seasons to kind of see where I'm at and what we can do here. We did get news that 14.8 is going to be the MSI patch, and it really shakes things up a lot. That gives us potentially some really, really cool angles for futures looks. There's a couple teams that I think are going to get helped out tremendously by this patch, but we'll talk about that more later on. Real quick, though, just recapping this this LEC match from yesterday, which was an absolute... This is like a fucking death clock concert. This match was like, this was an absolute murder fest. We had 199 kills in 4 games, 199 kills in 4 games, almost 50 kills a game. The series was an absolute shit show. All right. So look, sometimes a series goes off the rails. We had Vitality in this one. They won game one. You know, it was actually fairly close to the first 20 minutes. A lot of back and forth, a lot of trading, and then they kind of just, like, took over. The second game was the same kind of thing, except it went the opposite direction. It was kind of back and forth, a lot of early trading, and then it went turn 4 Fnatic. The third game, same thing, turn 4 Fnatic, but this one was a lot faster. I couldn't believe we had 32 kills in, like, a 24-minute game in that game. The fourth game in this series was a heart rate monitor. And my heart rate monitor was not healthy for this. It's a good thing I didn't get to watch this one live. I caught the first game of this series live before I had some stuff I had to do. I had to watch this through VODs, unfortunately for me. Although, to be honest with you, I don't think there was really ever going to be a good time in this series to get out of a position anyway, but I probably would have let it go. Game 4, Fnatic blew open like a 3,600 gold lead in the first like 19, 20 minutes or so, which is like that's statistically significant. It's not, you know, insurmountable by any means. They managed to throw that all the way back, and then over the next like 10 minutes or so, Vitality actually built out like a 3K gold lead or so, which, you know, at 30 minutes is a lot more negligible than at 20. But anyway, they built out a huge gold lead, and then they threw it again. This was just throwing it back and forth and back and forth and back and forth. They took a fight. They kind of overcommitted. So Vitality had like this crazy, crazy dive comp in this match, and they just kind of overdove one time and got really, really punished by an Azir ultimate and a Renata ultimate, and Renata ended up being a great pick in this one. Carsey died nine times in this game four. He was super fed, but he died nine times on Zaya, which should just never ever happen. Like, I don't, like, it just, that should just never ever happen. It was a very Carsey game, vintage Carsey game. But yeah, I don't know. We were really, really close on this one because Fnatic even threw it back again, and we had a chance to get it home in this one. This ended up being just a slobber knocker. There was like there were 60 kills in this game for over 40 minutes. Like, this really could have gone either way. It just got off the rails really, really quickly. And really, you can make an argument that with how Vitality started this game, they probably should have won it. But it's kind of a bummer they didn't enforce a game five to get the map spread home for us, but also would have been nice to just get a game five in this entertaining series anyway. This ended up going down as the bloodiest series in LEC history. It was the bloodiest best of five in LEC history. Not even per game. It was just like overall for the whole series, and we didn't even get a fifth game. It was the bloodiest best of five ever in the LEC, and we didn't even get a fifth game, which was kind of funny. Kind of a bummer we didn't get our map spread home, but is what it is. All right, moving on to the LPL. We have I'm doing Wednesday and Thursday together this week because we have the DFS slate on DraftKings is for Wednesday and Thursday, and a lot of my listeners and readers are DFS players, so I'm trying to accommodate the best I can. And I had a little bit extra time this week to actually get it formatted this way, so that's how we're going to do it. Wednesday morning, we have Ninjas in Pajamas plus 237 on the money line, plus 1.5 maps at plus 116, plus 2.5 at minus 293, minus 1.5 at plus 509, and the sweep for the dogs is at plus 1225. Against JD Gaming, JDG minus 302 on the money line, minus 1.5 at minus 141, minus 2.5 at plus 230, or plus 231. JDG 13-2 is favorites, 8-7 against the map spread this season. They've been an under team, 21 of their 36. Games as favorites have gone under with an average kill total of 24.1 via the average market total of 24.1. NIP 1-4 straight up as dogs, 2-3 against the map spread, 10-4 against kill spread as dogs, average kill spread of plus 6.9 kills via the market total. Just thought I'd mention that one. So here's the thing with NIP. I wrote a lot on this match, but I think a lot, like, you can generally sum this series up as, if you want to ride the hot hand, I think this price is a little bit too disrespectful of Ninjas in Pajamas. If you want to go based on overall quality and give a extra weight to the elite teams, then I think this is probably a pass. So this is a dog or pass situation for me. The numbers bear that out. The models project this as significantly closer. The non-filtered model made JDG a minus 159 fare. The filtered model made JDG just a minus 119 fare. So the filtered model doesn't see that much of a difference between these two teams. I do think they've both elevated their performance for the playoffs. I think JDG are playing incredible. Flandre looks ridiculous right now. So the head-to-head, I'm not putting any weight on the head-to-head. Head-to-head went to JDG 2-0, but it was all the way back in week two. It was their first match of the season, so this game is much different. These teams are much different since then. Now, I've been impressed with Ninjas in Pajamas in the playoffs. I think they're playing their best League of Legends right now. I want to give them credit for that, but this is a team that hasn't been able to beat the Elite Three teams all season, really. During the regular season, they lost 0-2 to all three, and by the Elite Three, I mean Bilibili, Top Esports, and JDG. They lost 0-2 to all three of those teams. Their game two win against BLG in their last match this weekend was the first game win that they've had against that tier of team all season. And they've only had a statistically significant lead at 20 minutes in one game against the Elite Three all season, and it was in that game. So on one hand, you could be like, oh, well, game two and game four of that series were their best individual game grades and against the elite teams all season. Maybe they're trending in the right direction. They're closer now than they've been all year. I could see the case for that. The counter to that is, if they played their best game and still only got to a 3-1 in that series, then I don't really know what to say about that. Because Bilibili did not, like, Bilibili in terms of their game grades, that was like bottom third for game grades for Bilibili all seasons. So it's not like we didn't get a good series from Bilibili. And we didn't get a particularly good series from, or we got an excellent series from NIP. So if you think that they can keep stringing together these excellent performances and you want to ride the hot hand, this number is probably way too big. And I can understand that, especially if you look at, like, I'm going to check what the last price was for that match. NIP were plus 407. We backed NIP in that match, I believe. If I remember correctly, I forget. But they were plus 407. This is a significantly shorter price. Like, this is... No, it's not. I guess it's plus 237. It's very, like, a lot shorter, but it's percentage-wise not as big a change as you'd think. It's still like a 10% change, though. Like, that's not a joke. So, really, for me, like, I don't want to get involved with NIP. They have issues closing. I think their 65% closing rate with a lead at 20 minutes is a little bit deceptive. There's been a lot of games this season where they've had big leads and they've thrown it and then not ended up losing the game. They have a lot of issues still in the mid and late game. They've cleaned a lot of those up for the playoffs, I'll admit. But even in their last series, game four of their last series, they had a 2,000 goal out of 10 minutes wins something like 95% of the time. And they had like a 2K goal lead on Billy Billy in that game and then threw it all the way back and lost the game. You know, they still had a lead at 20 minutes in that game, but it just went one direction toward Billy Billy for the rest of the game. This is a team that's had issues closing. It's a team that is very, very sloppy in the mid and late game. Their transition game is not good at all. I thought the FPX series was probably their best closing series that we've seen, like, fundamentally all season. I doubt we see that again from them. I think Billy Billy are much better. Not that I have that much against FPX, but I don't know. I think there's an interesting... I just don't want to get involved with this team against the elite teams. I know the number's right. The price is right. That's why I'm saying this is dog or pass. I would not want to... I just don't want to get involved with Ninjas against the elite teams. I just don't think they can do it. Like, you would need, like, an upper quartile performance again from them, and you would need a bad performance from JDG, and I just don't know if we're going to get that. Like, that's the parlay you're trying to assemble. And then you have to ask yourself, is that going to happen enough of the time? You know, like, plus 237 is what? Let me just pull this up real fast. Plus 237 is, like... Just short of 30% implied win rate. Like, do you think that there's more than a 30% chance that NIP have an upper quartile and JDG have a lower quartile? Because that's what it's going to take to get the money line home, and I just don't say it. Like, I can't. Like, this is dog or pass for sure. If you made me pick something in this series, I would play like Ninjas to take a map because they are good enough to snowball games out. I just struggled. Like, they just have issues closing, and they don't get leads consistently enough against the top three teams. They've only had one lead. They've had two leads. The other two games that they are counting as leads were like leads of 100 gold and 200 gold at 20, which is negligible. So, yeah, I just don't see it with them on the money line. I think if you like Ninjas in Pajamas, play the plus 2.5 maps or the plus 1.5 maps and do like a ladder that way. I would not play the money line, though. I just don't see it happening. That said, I'm not overpaying for JDG in this spot either. Another angle to think on. I didn't end up playing this, but I thought it was worth noting. Against other playoff teams, Ninjas in Pajamas had a 75.76% first blood rate this season. And anecdotally, they do put an emphasis on getting a strong start, even if they struggle to finish in games. Should also mention that so far in the playoffs of their playoff series, they picked up first blood in 11 of their 13 games. I think the dynamic in playoffs is a little bit different. When you give teams time to prepare and look at your film, and JDG are going to have a week to digest the three series that we've seen from NIP so far, I think the dynamic changes a little bit, but I still think that's probably maybe interesting to look at. I didn't end up playing it, but if you can get anything better than even money, it's a look for sure. Next up, we have on Thursday morning, Billy Billy Gaming, minus 177 on the money line, minus 1.5 maps at plus 125, minus 2.5 at plus 370. Against Top Esports, plus 145 on the money line, plus 1.5 at minus 151, plus 2.5 at minus 505, minus 1.5 plus 285, and minus 2.5 at plus 766. So, Billy Billy 16-1 straight up as favorites, 13-4 against the map spread. Top Esports have been an underdog just once this season. This will be the second time they are 0-1 and 0-1 in that situation. Guess who? It was, in fact, Billy Billy Gaming, who won the head-to-head matchup 2-1 back in week one. It was the first match of the year for both teams. Game was much different. Teams were much different at the time, so don't put too much weight on that. Similar to our play the other day, JDG and Top Esports, this is another matchup between two of the Elite Three teams. The first one, we had a bit of a wild 3-0 result between Top and JDG. I talked about that in the recap. The first two games of that series were incredibly close, incredibly competitive, very, very high-level stuff that we saw in that match. the 3-0 result does not tell the true story of that. It's going to look like, oh, holy shit, Top are so good. But really, the first two games of that match could have gone either way, and it just flipped one way. It went, you know, it flips in Top's favor on the coin flip. And I'll admit they decisively won game three, though. That was good on them. I don't really have a whole lot to say handicapping these Elite Three matches. We haven't had enough of a sample size to really see, like, why, you know, any kind of history or why they would have a stylistic advantage or anything like that. I know last year, eventually over the course of the season, we saw that, like, JDG sort of had a mental edge over Billy Billy Gaming, and Billy Billy didn't beat them until, you know, I don't think they ever did. They never did beat them, I'm pretty sure, if I remember correctly. It took until the beginning of this season for them to beat them. So, in general, I'm treating these top three teams as, like, basically the same thing, same quality. They're all in the same tier. I think you could make a case that Top and Billy Billy are a little bit better than JDG, but Top and Billy Billy are basically the same quality. Both these teams are currently rating, as they are currently constituted, they are currently ranking in the top 10 of my model's all-time teams, and I've been, you know, modeling this stuff since, like, roughly toward the end of season 5. Right now, currently, they are both in the top 10. I think they're 8th and 10th all-time, or 7th and 10th all-time on that list. That said, you know, we've seen single seasons where this, it doesn't mean it's going to forward project that way, but the point I'm trying to make here is, like, this is rare air, the quality of team that we're seeing here, the quality of performance level that we're getting from both these teams right now. They are both ridiculously good, straight up. That's, you know, these are all-time quality seasons that these two have put together, and this match should be awesome. All of this is to say, I don't, like, since we don't have a specific thing to point to be like, oh, that's an advantage or this is a disadvantage, I could sit here and nitpick all the individual things, but I think a lot of this is going to come down to draft. And realistically speaking, I think this is just a coin flip match. I have no idea why we're getting such a huge plus, like a huge price for Billy Billy, probably because they won the head-to-head. But, like, really, this should just be a coin flip. And any of these matchups between these elite teams, like, maybe you make both of these teams a slight favorite against JDG, but if you get any kind of significant plus money in either any of these matches, you should just take the plus money and enjoy the match. Like, regardless of how it turns out, like, really, it should just be a coin flip. I should also note that, like, there isn't a side advantage to factor in for the semifinals and the third match of the loser's bracket, like the third day of loser's bracket. The side advantage rules for the playoffs in the LPL are very, very strange. I'm not going to go in and explain how it's really, really complicated, but all you need to know is for both of these matches specifically, higher seed is not getting side choice. They decide who gets choice for game one via a coin flip, and then for the rest of the series, it's like everywhere else in the world, which is the loser picks. Now, when we get to finals, the higher seed in the finals will have side choice again, and then loser will pick side. It'll alternate based on the loser's choice. So we'll get back to, like, some kind of advantage. It's not like the rest of the season where it's predetermined, or early in the playoffs where the higher seed gets to decide which three games they get choice in. But, you know, for this match specifically, there's not really a specific side advantage edge until we know the coin flip result. So, like, in both of these matches, like, there's a case to be made that, like, oh, well, if, you know, you give an edge to one of those teams in map one or something, then you could get closer to the money line price. But in this case, like, I don't see it. Like, this should be an even money match. This should be a coin flip. It should be a minus 110 or esports even money, which is minus 115 on both sides. And it's not. So I took Top Esports plus 1.5 maps at minus 151 for 2 units. I took Top Esports on the money line plus 145 for half a unit. Top Esports minus 1.5 maps at plus 285 for 0.2 units, and Top Esports to sweep at plus 766 for 0.1 units. This is basically just should be a coin flip, isn't priced as a coin flip, and, you know, it's not quite a hold your nose special because, you know, you're back in Elite Team, but, you know, this should be a coin flip match, and it's not priced that way, so I play Top Esports. That's going to be it for me. You probably won't hear anything from me for the next day or two. I'll have something out for the weekend slate. We have LEC and LCK coming up this weekend on top of the LPL, and probably won't have anything from me tomorrow unless I decide to post early. Then I usually will wait because we don't have derivative prices or anything like that up. So, speaking of that, for this last match, the Top Esports Bilibili match, there's no derivatives up anywhere at any of the market makers yet. So I kind of like just made numbers up to project and put up on the Patreon, like for the kill totals and stuff like that. I will probably not end up playing anything in this one anyway, but if I do, I will send an update to patrons on the Patreon and I'll have a notification on that post. But no derivative place for me in that one for now, and it's not likely that I'll have any. So, and that's going to be it for me. I will see you guys later this week. Best of luck.